Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the 7-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case. And at the other end of the line today is not Bachelor Clues. He got his tonsils removed this week, all in service of having a more sultry voice for the upcoming Windeckia season, and he cannot speak. We wish him a speedy recovery and look forward to his brand new vocal cords to commentate on our beloved game this Windeckia season. So today joining me instead to guest host is friend of the pod, former producer for the Vial Files, host of the Walk You Out podcast, and most importantly, the creator of Bachelor the Musical, and most importantly, my friend, Rochelle Meese.
Hi.
Hello and welcome.
Hello. Man, I don't know how Clues could get a sultrier voice than he already has. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
It's dangerous. Dangerous.
Wow. I didn't know we'd have a declaration of love right off the bat.
I mean, I'm just saying. I heard a lot of the listeners have fallen for Clues just from his voice. Isn't that true?
Oh, really?
You told me that, Pace Case. You told me that.
Look, I don't know what people have said or haven't said about Clues' voice, but we can always improve ourselves.
That's
and
true.
I fully support him removing his vocal cords completely, having AI updated into them, and putting it back in his body, which I'm pretty sure is what he's doing.
I mean, if anybody's going to turn into a robot, it's him. He's on the path. He's halfway there already.
He is. He is. And we hope he has a speedy recovery.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, that's a rough one. Tonsils, man. Usually you do that when you're a kid, but I guess he's getting it done late in life.
we wish Clues the best of health. He'll be back soon, and you know, he'll have an even sultrier voice. So it might, the ratio of pit dwellers who are in love with Clues's voice might increase.
Uh-oh.
I hope people are in love with my, you know,
yeah,
deep voice as well.
Yeah, you got a good thing going too.
Hopefully. We hope everyone is enjoying Gore Girl Summer so far. When Clues and I started it, we had no idea it would include so much, but it's really turning out to have it all. We had interviews with Tammy Lee, Elise Delbaum, Sarah Herron, Courtney Robertson, Dave Neal, Olivia Caridi, Chelsea Vaughn, Annalise Puccini, and our most recent interview, if you haven't heard it yet, with beloved phone hacker Ivan Hall.
That was a good episode. Astounding. Yeah, I listened to that. I loved it.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
what's the sultry rating?
Oh, I don't find him very sultry, I'll be honest. He seems like a good guy, though. He was definitely keeping it clamped down. Didn't you feel that a little bit? For the producers, he didn't want to say anything that would get him in trouble.
I support whatever path any player is taking.
That's a good point.
You
yeah.
know, everybody's on their own journey.
They are. They got to get that bag.
We also in Gore Girl Summer had coverage of Bachelor Live on Stage, the most in-depth coverage that I believe has ever been done. We had me contracting COVID-19 on the festival circuit at Coachella. What more could Gore Girl Summer have to offer? Well, I'll tell you what. One more week of Gore Girl Summer, you're not going to want to miss who we have for the Gore Girl finale.
Who is it?
I cannot reveal.
Can I guess?
It is astounding. Yes, you may
guess.
Is
it Nick Viall?
Keep a straight face.
Is it?
My face, you can't see this, but my face is completely straight. I reveal nothing.
Stone face.
But it is.
I don't think it is.
It is. It's a very, very exciting one. I never thought we were going to have on this podcast.
Never thought. Is it Bala K? Have you had Bala K on?
Bala K has been on the Bala pod.
K. Yeah, I thought so. Okay. All right. Wow.
Well.
Never thought. Interesting.
Well, Rochelle's wheels are spinning as she tries to discover this mystery Gore Girl.
Oh my gosh. Is it Chris Harrison?
I don't.
Is it Chris Harrison?
My face is neutral. My face is completely neutral once again. Now, I'm a professional.
That would be epic. I would tune in for that one for sure.
Oh my god. What would you want us to ask, DLH?
What do you think of your photoshops of him?
The demonic imagery?
Yeah. And what he thinks of his nickname? If he's aware of it even. I bet he is. Dark Lord Harrison.
You think he knows about the name Dark Lord Harrison?
100%.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Lauren Zima told him,
I wonder what he thinks
him,
about
bet.
Dark Lord Palmer.
Oh, he's probably so jealous.
You think Zima worships the Dark Lord?
Oh, yeah, she's down at that altar for sure.
Well, this is great speculation to start this episode off. And don't worry for all the pit dwellers out there who are sad that Gore Girl Summer is ending. Oh. A new season will soon be upon us. Dun, 2 weeks dun. Of Pace Case Spring Break.
Ooh.
What is that? We don't know yet. It's a mystery. I know, but I can't share.
Oh, man.
And that will be followed by a 2-part mini-series event where Clues and I are going to break down all the male players of the Windeckia season, followed by the start of the Windeckia season. And we have one more piece of business in celebration of our 3rd year Gore anniversary. We have restocked the 4TRR t-shirts. We are selling them along with our Gore logo shirt and mug at gameofroses.co. I saw someone made people are already getting their logo shirts, and I saw a parasocial play today of someone already wearing their shirt, ready to get on their peacocking endeavors, which I love and fully support.
I love all the shirts. I saw a lot of the shirts at the musical that there was a good Game of Roses representation, and they all were wearing shorts at Bachelor of the Musical in January. It was
shorts.
Awesome. I mean, shirts. God damn it. Oh my God.
I was like, what did the shorts have to do with it?
They were all wearing shorts at the theater. It was a bad look.
Well, that perfectly leads us right into our next segment, which is the segment where we discuss something that's going on in the world of The Bachelor. This is
Game of Roses. State of the Game.
Our theater correspondent, Rochelle Meese, is here with a special theatrical Bachelor the Musical field report.
Oh, yeah.
Hello and welcome.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here. Man, you let me come on the podcast a while ago and talk about the musical before we even put it up in Chicago. And so many of your listeners came out. It was so fun.
That is incredible. Yeah. Thank you so much to the Pit for coming out. Yes. I am so sad that I did not get to go see it this year.
I was like, Pace Case, I will buy your ticket to fly you out, but it just didn't work out.
I couldn't. I had too much Midwest time already in the schedule. You know, hopefully my Midwest time will work out better this time. For those who did not listen to the previous field report before it was set on stage, how did Bachelor the Musical come about?
Well, I started it at UCB, which is Upright Citizens Brigade here in Los Angeles. It's a comedy theater, and it kind of grew from there, and we were having sold out shows, so then a production company picked it up, and you know, then the whole world shut down because of COVID. And once things started opening up, they were like, we have this great opportunity at the Apollo in Chicago to put up all these parody musicals. We want to do yours in January. And we were like, yes, please. The Apollo is an amazing theater. It's like almost in the round. And it seats like 400, which was too many seats for us. But literally, they flew out this set designer and he built the Bachelor Mansion on stage. It looked so legit. And he was a huge Bachelor fan too. So it looked like, it looked so good. And I knew like the fans really appreciated that. And like we had amazing costumes and we cast Chicago actors. It was a crazy experience. It was also the height of Omicron, unfortunately. So it was stressful, but it turned out
tough to put on a production during COVID.
Yeah, not the perfect time. But people still came out, and Lizzie, opening night, the audience lost their mind.
What do you mean?
Like, everybody was just so in it. Like, they were screaming, like, all the jokes, everybody got all the jokes. Like, everybody was just on board. God, it was a fun time.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yes.
So I assume that the show went well with all the screaming.
It did go well. Yeah. They didn't sell as many tickets as they were hoping to, but it was just, I just think it was a really hard time to get people to sit in a theater with their mask on, you know. But other than that, it went really well. Yeah, we got a write up in the Chicago Tribune and a bunch of other.
I saw that. Yeah. So incredible.
Yeah, very fun.
Do you have a favorite song of yours, or your favorite song to write, or your favorite one to see it come alive?
Well, it's so funny because I wrote a new one for this last iteration, and it was called More Than a Virgin, and the virgin character is trying to convince the bachelor, like, even though she's a virgin, because he gets very weirded out when she comes out that she's a virgin, as they tend to do.
Yeah, she plays her personal virginity card.
Yep.
He has to respond.
Yeah, and so she's like, don't worry, like, even though I'm a virgin, like, I'm still, like, really deep, really complicated, and, you know, she's actually not. But it went viral on TikTok. And people,
that
like,
was my,
yeah, go ahead.
That was my next question. I was like, you went viral on TikTok. You got Virgin Song, got 1.9 million views, and you now have 20.9K followers on TikTok.
Yeah, but people like were really hating on it, which is understandable. Like, it was like, it was like a love hate thing because it made fun of like communications majors who go to state school.
Well, that was my next question. I was like, what was it like to go viral? That's incredible. And why did you shit on state schools?
Because I went to a state school. I went to University of Arizona, and I'm always like, I just like making fun of myself. And it's like, I went to U of A. We're all like basic. You know what I mean? Everybody like looks the same. We all like the same things. And that's fine, you know? But I think it's fun to make fun of. Maybe it's like a self-hating thing. It's probably that. So I don't know. Maybe I'll change the lyrics and make it less.
Hey, you know, maybe the divisiveness made it go viral even more. The angry comments.
Yeah, because I think TikTok sent the video to all communications majors, so they were like, "That's what made it everyone so angry." It was like the algorithm, you know, sent it to the wrong people instead of like Bachelor fans and musical theater lovers, which is kind of funny.
What was that like to see that 2 million people have watched this video? That's incredible.
It's so fun. It's so fun. I just like was looking at my phone for days, just watching the numbers go up, and I just show everybody. I'm like, look, the numbers are going up.
Like on the street?
Yeah.
She's like, you see this?
It's called going viral, baby.
I have noticed your whole personality has changed.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big deal now. I'm a pretty big deal.
Big time now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys talk about going viral. You guys have gotten huge. Pace Case, I was in Scottsdale, my cousin's wedding. She goes, have you heard of this really cool podcast? I've been listening to it called Game of Roses. And I was like, have I heard of it? Come on.
You're talking to someone who has co-hosted and been welcomed into the pit officially. Hello.
Yeah. I was like, welcome to the pit, bitch.
Oh my God. I hope that's your next Bachelor the Musical song. Welcome to the pit, bitch.
When I first came on Game of Roses, I think you had only had one guest who had been on The Bachelor. And now you've had so many.
Danny Padilla.
Yeah, Danny Padilla. So
nice.
Yeah, you've really to the moon.
You were in on the ground floor, Rochelle.
I guess so. I feel very special.
There was another point of controversy that I remember with Bachelor the Musical. I can't remember when you told me this, but you told me that the Bachelor asked you to take roses out of your poster.
Oh yeah, we got a cease and desist. They said no roses on the poster. I was like,
For what reason? Were they like, the roses are copyrighted? How is that possible?
Well, everyone I talked to, so technically it was Warner Brothers who sent the cease and desist, and everybody's like, oh, they're just trying to scare you. Like, they really can't do anything because of parody law. But like, we just wanted to kind of cooperate to show them like we were cooperating, like we're still going to do the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said no roses, and they made me change some of the color schemes. And I was like, okay, whatever, whatever.
They're like, we also own red, so no red.
Yeah, right. I know, I'm like, can you do that? I guess. I mean.
So when is the show coming to Los Angeles?
So right now it is slotted, I know this sounds so far away, but 2023, the plan is to start off Broadway and then tour the country. That's the plan.
Oh my God.
And you know, it's hard to make plans in this day and age. We don't know. Maybe monkeypox will have taken over by then and there'll be no more shows. But
don't jinx us with the monkeypox.
I'm knocking on wood. But right now that's the plan. And maybe we'll have some new songs in there based on this new season, I'm sure. There's a lot of fun stuff to mine.
Double Bachelorette.
Yeah. But I think another reason that Virgin Song went viral is because everyone's like, whoa, this is happening right now on this season. Who was the Virgin on that last season?
Teddy. Teddy Wright.
Yeah. And everybody's like, whoa. And it's like, no, they do this every season. You know, you and me, we know that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think we just looked it up and the first one was in season 2 or 3.
Wow. All the way back then.
She revealed it in her ITMs. I don't know if she ever told The Bachelor.
Oh, interesting.
But it's because on Almost Famous OG, AFOG, Trista and Bob were talking about this, and she said the first virgin was during some later season. And Bob was like, no, there was one on my season. And actually, there was one before Bob's season.
Wow.
It's got a rich history in the game.
It does. And it's so bizarre. Like, why? I feel like I don't encounter that many virgins in real life. Do you? Like it, they make it seem so
common. The only people I've slept with. What do you mean?
And clues, I guess.
And clues, of course. That, how do you think he, his voice is so sultry? It's his virgin spirit coming through.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, Rochelle, you are also my Nick Vial correspondent.
Oh, yeah. Happy to do that.
I am going to listen for our Digging Deeper episode this weekend. I have not. But did you watch or listen to the Nick Vial, Natalie Joy on Call Her Daddy interview?
Yes, I actually didn't know what was happening, and Pace Case texted me, did you see this? And I was like, OMG, tuning in. So I listened this morning on my hike. And listen, we've heard the story of their relationship before. It's nothing new, but they did seem very comfortable, had a great conversation with Alex, and she's a good interviewer, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think she's great. Yeah. I haven't really listened to the older stuff, and I know
people
have all their different opinions.
Really hated it. I really hate the whole, it seemed like feminism, but to me, it was feminism disguised as like, how can we please men? That was just my take on it, and I wasn't into it. But I think she's really grown into her own. Obviously, she's built a huge fan base. But yeah, you have any questions on what was talked about?
Yeah. Were there any big takeaways? Were there any fairy tales torn to shreds during this interview? Or
so they did not address the controversy of Natalie Joy's Instagram, infamous Instagram caption copying. But Alex,
I wonder if that was like not allowed during the interview.
So then Alex posted something on her Instagram that Natalie had brought it up after they had been done recording, like, I'm surprised you didn't ask me this. And she's like, oh, I hadn't heard about it. Alex said that. And then Natalie said something about she had asked a friend for help on it, and then her friend had told her to post it or something. Like, she blamed a friend. And I'm like, that seems true at all. I'm sorry.
That's very genuine and real.
Yeah, very genuine and real. Like, oh, you hired someone to post.
Oh, yeah, my friend had my account.
I know. Yeah, very similar. But no, she came off great on the podcast, Natalie, and talked about how their relationship started. She slid into his DMs. They started hooking up. And then she let him know that she wanted a relationship. He said he didn't want that. And she kept asking him and finally was like, listen, if you don't want this, I know I'm going to get hurt, so I'm out. And then he said,
she issued an ultimatum.
Ultimatum. They work, I guess. They do work.
Interesting.
Would you ever do that? Would you ever issue an ultimatum?
Issue an ultimatum?
Yeah.
I have not yet, but who knows?
Oh, are you on the brink?
No.
Okay.
No, I watched the show The Ultimatum. It doesn't seem like a great idea from that show.
It doesn't seem great. Yeah. Ideally, you won't have to. You'll just like have
I
love
think it,
and give love.
Yeah, I think it's an indicator of some other communication things going on in the relationship.
Yeah.
My favorite ultimatum was Katie and Tom on Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, I
she issued an ultimatum.
And did he accept or did he say, no, I don't want to?
They did get married. They have since announced they're getting divorced.
I'll see.
But before the ultimatum, he gave her a ring on a string as like the promise gesture.
Oh, no. A ring on a string?
She had a necklace that had a ring on it.
No. Yeah, that's bizarre. Yeah, it's not the best.
Have you ever issued an ultimatum, Michelle?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Would you?
I hope to not have to. I guess I'll say that. Like, I feel like I'm at a point now where I would just leave. Like, if the other person isn't willingly giving that up, you know what I mean? I'd just, like, take that. I've become very comfortable being alone, so I would just be like, okay. At least that's what I think now. Who knows, you know, when I'm in the thick of it, but...
Right.
Yeah. Ideally, a relationship is not something you have to fight tooth and nail for. That's my hope.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
I honestly, like, I texted you this. I was like, this is emergency news. I had no idea that this was going to be happening. Like, I don't listen to all of that podcast, but I've listened to some, and I do like her interview style and how she sort of is incorporating some mental health stuff, because yeah. I think her mom's a therapist, and so she's really interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But she's just had some fascinating interviews, and then I was like, wait, what? How is this happening? Because they're not in the news to...
Yeah.
From what I know. Well, so it was an interesting timing.
Yeah, I told you this over text, but they were on the Vile Files early on, like before they were super huge, I think. And
When it was two hosts.
Yes, when it was two hosts. And Alex and Nick, they said on the podcast, had matched on Raya, which I thought was a funny tidbit.
Oh,
so they
kind of
go back. They go back.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Did I tell you that I matched with one of the players that's on Windekia?
Why didn't you text me this immediately? Wait, are you... This was a while ago, obviously.
This was maybe 10 years ago.
Okay, I just panicked. But I'm like, this is a very long time ago. You didn't break up with your boyfriend, did you? Okay, good, good, good.
What? Wow. No.
I know.
No, wow. But yeah. So Alex and Nick never went out, though?
No, they That's never went out. Man, these Windekia guys, I feel like they're a good bunch. I feel like...
Have you looked at
them? Oh, I looked at all of them. Are you kidding me?
Ooh. And I haven't looked at, because we're going to do our breakdown coming up soon.
And the average age is 28, which I think is a good number.
Oh, wow. That's pretty high for an average.
I think so, too. And I think that's an improvement. Oh, man.
Yeah. Do you have any favorites right off the bat?
I'd have to pull it up. Do you want me to? The twins. I love a twin.
Twins are the highlight.
They look horrible, to be honest. Not horrible, but I think they're like DJs or something.
We haven't seen male twins yet. We had Brad and Chad Womack. His twin filled in for him at a cocktail party.
He's a twin? Briefly. Oh, my God.
Identical.
I forgot
Brad
that.
Brad and Chad.
That is a piece of Bachelor lore that I had forgotten. This is why you guys are so good. You know everything.
Because we have a problem.
Yeah. Oh, I have to say, the Bachelors really stepped it up with their photography. Finally, we're getting good shots. These guys look good in these
pics. Oh, the headshots?
Yeah. They're much better, don't you think? Some of them, though. Let's see.
I think so. It's definitely better than when, I don't know if it was the COVID seasons, but they just had, everyone had a random different picture that they had just taken outside.
Yes.
Against a wall. Some of them were horrible.
Yeah. I guess I don't have, I do think this Colin Farrell guy, I just think it's hilarious. There's a guy named Colin Farrell.
There's someone named Colin Farrell?
Yes, there's someone
but
named...
But not the actor?
No, not the actor, unfortunately. Someone named Colin Farrell.
And I probably would have heard that.
He kind of looks like Colin Farrell. He's 36, lives in Chicago. We did a deep dive on our podcast a while ago, but I think he might be an improviser, Lizzie. He might be an improviser.
Oh, no.
And that's never good.
Oh, no.
So if he's the villain...
Why is that not good?
Have you ever dated an improviser?
No.
They're talented and funny, but not great to date. And for some reason, they have inflated egos because they're funny. And like girls see them on stage and want to date them. So they have these inflated egos. I don't know. That's just
I've heard personal experience. I've heard stories of, you know, the improv world and the interesting relationship dynamics.
Yes. Yeah. But I think he is an improviser. Ugh.
Thank you. I look forward to looking at these more in depth and seeing your one true love, Colin Farrell. Have you been listening to any of the official Bachelor Nation podcasts lately?
No. Are you kidding me? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Don't you think?
Are you aware of the Sauce Wars?
What? Oh, with Joe? With Grocery Store Joe?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a larger war. It is between the company podcasts and the tea podcasts.
Wait, what?
The Sauce Wars is basically people are starting to spill tea. Demi spilled some major tea, defining herself as a tea person last week, I would say.
On her podcast. So
I think she did this on her own podcast, Demi Goddess, with Pilot P and Dustin.
Okay.
So it was basically like Blake Horseman was talking about how he was giving advice to people on Paradise and saying, you know, if someone has an official Bachelor podcast, be wary of them, essentially, because they're going to get good edits. Like, don't target the same people
as
them.
Oh my gosh, that's so smart. That's you really have to do that. They're like protected.
Yeah, they are. And I guess clickbait fought back. And he had said that Natasha had gotten a producer rose. So there's just sort of people on these like two sides of this fight essentially going on. And then there are people who are fences.
Yes.
And I just looked this up because I was like, is fence already a term? A fence is known as a receiver, mover, or moving man, an individual who knowingly buys stolen goods in order to later resell them for profit.
Huh.
Or a synonym for cool used to describe an event, object, person, or feeling. That concert was the fence.
That's I've not a thing. That's not a thing.
And then Urban Dictionary, when two men, ... sexual activity.
Fencing? Oh, maybe like fighting with their dicks? Like their fence.
That's the ... part, Michelle. This is a family pod.
Oh my goodness sakes.
But yeah, that's essentially what the Sauce Wars are. And so we did come up with the term Sauce Wars.
Yes.
We use sauce to describe like when you're putting the company spin on something, essentially.
Wow. Like, I just.
Their narrative.
How do these people sleep at night? How do these company men sleep at night? Just having to lie out of their butts for The Bachelor? Come on.
I think they sleep on Casper mattresses.
God, they do. With Brooklyn and sheets.
Wow. How are you feeling about the upcoming Windacchia season with two bachelorettes, by the way?
Can I ask a question about that, about the Sauce Wars? I'm really into this.
Yeah.
So what is your definition of fence? You mean fence is like someone who's in the middle, not speaking?
My definition is someone who's in the middle who like sometimes says like, oh, that was an edit, but sometimes not.
Like,
you know, I would say Nick Viall would be a fence.
Yeah. Yeah. But leaning towards company, I would say, wouldn't you?
Hmm.
Because the company still
he definitely,
is in their good graces.
He definitely
graces.
Like gets the episodes early.
Exactly.
They're in the good graces. Yeah.
Exactly. Whereas
they get access.
Chatty Broads, it was never a fence.
That would be like a tea podcast, I would
tea
say.
Tea podcast, yes. Okay, and I just have an opinion on Blake. I think he needs to. I'm worried about him. Pace case. I'm really worried about him.
Why? He's thriving.
Is he, though? I think he needs to. I know he had record-breaking DJ set.
We'll get to that.
I just feel like he's so bitter. And I would be too. Honestly, I relate. But he needs to move on, let go. And I think he needs to move on from Bachelor Nation. Like, there's just so much darkness there.
Well, we will see if he is moving on from Bachelor Nation coming up in this episode.
Woo!
But that's it for our lovely field report from Rochelle Meese. Thank you so much for doing that with me and keeping me updated on all things happening in the theater. Oh, I forgot to ask you, Bachelor Live on Stage, thoughts?
Yes. So I thought, because there's also the Bridgerton Live experience that's touring, and they seem kind of similar
to
me.
Are they related?
I think they're similar because they're like immersive experiences.
Targeted at women.
Targeted at women, and it's like your TV show, like you get to be a part of it. And I thought they were the stupidest ideas I had ever heard. But people love going to them. It seems like people are having fun.
Bachelor Clues and The Dark Seeker loved it.
Right?
And I'm like a little bit disappointed in that because I wanted it to be so bad. But
I don't know if like, I don't know if they wouldn't classify it that way, but I would say they still loved it.
And what I don't get is like the dancers, like who is it that's opening the show dancing?
Sydney Lotwako and Adam, I think.
Yeah. I'm like, that seems so random. They're like, who's an alumni that has some kind of talent? Let's stick him up there. And then Becca does a dance as well, right? Like Greece.
Well, Sydney spilled some tea about the living conditions for it and how she was basically sequestered because of COVID.
Oh, no.
While other people were not.
Oh, no. Aren't you surprised Ben Higgins really didn't come back to host the tour?
He had a lot going on. I don't know.
I also heard he was demanding a lot more. Like, he wanted his own tour bus. Like, he was kind of...
His rider was the problem.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the problem, but I do know, like, Becca was with the crew and he was like separated and kind of had asked for, it's hard to tour. Like you really have to put up with a lot. It's not,
yeah,
it's not luxury. That's for sure. So,
but Bachelor of the Musical will be luxury. Don't worry. Anyway, thank you for this beautiful field report.
Oh, you're welcome.
And up next will be our segment where we discuss what we're watching while we're not watching The Bachelor. This is
What Are You Watching?
What are you watching?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Clues. A Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Clues, have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered
Hell yes.
why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised?
Hell yes. Well, unfiltered mineral water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And about 75% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine.
I thought it was 85%. And that's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin.
Best of all, the Canopy Filtered Showerhead is hassle-free. Installation's a breeze, and it's unique. Quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market.
Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy Filtered Showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription.
Even better, anybody listening to Gore right now can use code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Rochelle, what are you watching?
Okay, the best show on television, hands down, is Severance. Is Severance?
Oh, I love Severance.
It's so good, and it's over now, but I'm still talking about it. If you haven't watched it, you got to.
I said that to Bachelor Clues. He refuses.
Bachelor Clues would love that show. That show is right up his alley, isn't it? It's like dark and like dystopian. Yes. That's all. Clues is in love with dystopian stuff. Yeah.
I think he would love it.
He would.
I think it's about the format it's on. It's on Apple.
Yeah. It's on Apple Plus.
Apple Plus.
Yeah. He doesn't have a subscription to that.
I think so. I think that's the problem. He's drawing a line and the line is random and it is at Apple Plus.
You know, we all got to stop subscribing somewhere. So I understand.
But I agree. Severance is amazing. And like the show was so good. And then, you know, it's very easy for a finale to let you down. And that finale did not let you down.
Not at all.
That finale was perfect.
Not at all. I know after Lost, you're always like, there's the PTSD of like, my hopes are really high for this to bring it all together. And they did. And I think they're going to keep doing it with their future season. So I'm excited.
I'm, I guess, in the minority that I enjoyed the ending of Lost, but...
Oh, you did? Oh,
people
God.
People weren't upset.
Oh, God. Pace Kiss.
I just love that show so much. I was just, like, on board for whatever.
That was a great show, man. Those cliffhangers.
So good. Oh, my God. That show is amazing. That pilot of that show is perfect.
Wow. That was an experience. That was before TV was so cinematic. It was, like, the beginning of that. You're like, there's a... Yeah. This looks like a movie. Are you kidding me? Perfectly written pilot. I'm also watching. Are you watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
I'm catching up right now.
Great.
I'm at La Quinta.
La Quinta. We can't escape La Quinta.
We cannot escape La Quinta. Preview of my scream for later is regarding La Quinta and RHOBH.
Like, La Quinta has become its own reality TV character at this point.
Yeah, they're just like, we shoot TV shows here. Yeah. It's not even a hotel.
I think it's pretty good so far. I kind of hate how they have
one
argument.
Who are your favorites?
I love Sutton. Is that controversial? I don't know. Like, I just
it's
like
controversial for me.
Well,
what?
I know I've seen this, I think, on your
Why
stories,
you
how you think she's so insane. I liked how she stood up to Erica last season. I thought that was baller. And Erica deserves to be taken down. I think she's evil.
Ooh.
I do. The way she talks about this case is like so sad.
Well, I love Lisa Rinna. Which is also, I think, mixed reactions to her as well.
But why?
I think she's endlessly entertaining. And I think she just, like, she knows, like, her shtick. And
she
she's,
does.
Like, so good at it.
She does.
And, like...
She's, like, cut from the Kardashian cloth, I think, in that she just knows what she's doing. And she, you know, knows that she's selling out on a certain level. And she's okay with that.
Yes.
Pimping her daughters out.
They all are.
Mm-hmm. You're not on board with that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
another connection to Bachelor Nation, Scott Disick.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love Scott. Is that controversial? I think he's so funny.
Absolutely.
Oh.
I'll never forget the episode where I watched him shove a $20 bill down a waiter's throat.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's bad. Yeah, that you can't really come back from that, can you?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm watching all of those.
Yeah.
I watched also the Temptation Island reunion or finale and reunion. Have you watched Temptation Island at all?
No. Is it worth watching?
It's, I mean, I love it.
You do?
It's a wild premise.
Is it better
and
or
I think
worse?
They really overly produce it.
Oh, really? The one show on Netflix where they are like, and the twist is you guys can't have sex or kiss.
Oh, Too Hot to Handle?
Yeah, do you think it's better than Too Hot to Handle? Because I like that show.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I would say the Too Hot to Handle premise doesn't really work for me.
Okay.
Because it's like, once you know it's that, and then they all just break. I don't know.
Yeah.
I watched the first season and then lost it in the second.
Yeah.
Did you continue watching?
Yeah, I keep watching because it's good, like, cleaning TV. Like, you can have it on while you're cleaning and you won't miss anything if you're not watching every second.
That's a good recommendation. I am also catching up on Real Housewives of Miami.
Love that.
And I watched the first episode of Real Housewives of Dubai.
Okay. How was it?
Which I'm already completely on board, but I would say it doesn't make me want to live in Dubai.
Isn't Dubai
so far?
Isn't there like a lot of corruption there?
I have no idea. There's from how the show portrays it is just like there's a lot of money and there's some, you know, there's strict alcohol laws. The only things I know of Dubai are from reality shows like 90 Day Fiance and this.
Yeah.
But some excellent characters in it.
Okay, I'll check it out.
In the first episode, this woman puts giant blocks of ice in her pool because it's so unbearably hot.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So, yeah, I mean, recommend checking it out.
Okay, I will.
And that's what we're watching. Coming up, we are going to talk about all of the latest news in the nation.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
The biggest news this week is of the Wendekia kind.
Woo!
The official 32 players for Bachelorette Season 19 have been released. We will be doing an in-depth two-part breakdown of the rookie cast's Instagrams after Pace Case Spring Break and leading into the premiere of Wendekia on July 11th.
It's so soon!
But dark? It's basically tomorrow.
I know, and I was like, I thought it was still so far away because it seems so far away, but wow, time flies.
Dark Lord Palmer took to the Gen Z platform TikTok in a hilarious TikTok live event called Meet the Men with Jesse Palmer to give us our first look. We post each player's photo and Instagram handle on the Gore Instagram page if you want to get a head start on your own parasocial relationships with the players of the Wendekia season before we do our in-depth breakdown in the coming weeks. We already got your hot takes off the top.
Yep.
Twins. No go for Rochelle.
Colin Farrell, absolutely
not. But she wants to date Colin Farrell.
Speaking of hosting chops, friend of the pod and opera singer Charlene Joint just announced that she will be the new host of Bachelor in Paradise Canada. This is so great for her. This is perfect.
Yes.
Joint got the 17th best RQ of all time, the Fimp Rose, and the honor of the Dark Lord himself, describing her as the most intriguing person to ever appear on The Bachelor. She will start season 2 of Bachelor in Paradise Canada alongside returning resident bartender, Bachelorette Canada ring winner, BIP season 5 and Winter Games player, Kevin Wendt, and she will surely absolutely kill it in this new role. She's done an incredible job with her podcast, Dear Shandy, which she co-hosts with her husband, Andy Levine, a.k.a. Machine Levine. She's a great person.
I can't wait for this.
I know. You know what's funny is she just doesn't seem like a bachelor. Like, she didn't do that well on the show, don't you think? Like, she seemed so awkward.
I think she did incredibly well.
You do? I mean, she seems like the perfect
I think she's
catch.
Like one of the most memorable people
That's
from that
true.
Season.
That's true. She is super memorable. And she's just so talented, like actually talented, which is rare in reality television.
Yeah, her She was one of my favorites when I was watching.
Me too. That's true.
So long ago.
Yeah.
And we also, we've talked to them for their podcast, and she is, their podcast like looks amazing. They do an amazing job with it
yeah.
on YouTube.
She has a good eye for detail, I think.
I haven't watched Bachelor in Paradise Canada, but this makes me want to.
Oh my gosh, should we watch it?
There's just no time. There's no time.
Are they on a beach or are they
in
like
watch all these other
a
shows?
Snow hut?
I have to watch Real Housewives of Dubai.
Are they on a beach in Canada? Does Canada have beaches?
I think they're at like a lakeside thing.
All
I'm
right.
not sure.
Hmm.
Speaking of new roles, Bachelorette season 14 runner-up, BIP season 6 villain, co-host of the Behind the Rose podcast, Blake Hortzman, a.k.a. Baylock High, will be making his return to reality TV on All Star Shore,
no.
which will stream on Paramount Plus and feature his rumored girlfriend from the first season of Love is Blind, Giannina Gibelli.
No.
This is my fact checker saying this is false. While we don't know who he will wind up being, we look forward to seeing Baylock High return to the medium screen to dazzle and twirl.
See, he's off.
No, why are you saying no?
I just don't think he should be doing this. I don't think he should be dating Giannina.
Why?
Dating Giannina. He needs to get, I think he why? Needs to take his, I don't know. I don't like this for him. I want him to be, have.
What do you want for him?
I guess I'm still holding on to this person I thought he was, maybe. Like, Giannina is such a reality star, and she seems so, like, off her rocker, to be honest. And
I mean, is this just based on the edit?
Yeah,
on Love is Blind?
It's just based on the edit.
I don't trust any edits, ever.
Good point. Okay.
I mean, I think he's thriving. We'll get to a parasocial play he made as well. You know, I wish him nothing but the best.
I wish him nothing but the best as well, but I think he's headed for some kind of implosion. That's just what I see.
Oh, my God.
And a big congrats to somebody. Sorry, is this me?
Yeah, go for it.
And a big congrats to some players on their expanding families. The Bachelor Nation keeps getting larger and larger.
Ben Higgins's first choice for life, Lauren Lane, is expecting her second child with husband Chris Lane.
Season 8 Bachelor Dr. Travis Stork and his wife Paris welcome baby girl.
And a happy birthday goes out to Bachelor Happy Hour host, Michelle Young.
Woo.
She turned 29 last week, and we wish her an excellent 29th revolution around our dying sun. And now for all the news that's happening within our computers, in our phones, on our TikToks, on our Twitters, on our Instagrams. This is
the parasocial play of the week.
We had a lot of very, very strong parasocial plays this week. First of all, I didn't watch all of Dark Lord Palmer's 45-minute TikTok live announcing the men, but I saw clips of the experimental parasocial play, and I appreciated his enthusiasm that we got to know him as well. For instance, he laughs at some of the men's answers, and he's never had an icy at a gas station before.
Oh, man. It's so funny they're on TikTok now, but I guess.
It is.
Good for them. Trying to get that young audience hooked like we were, man.
I mean, we're hooked for life. Look at us.
I know. They got us when we were young, and now we're still in it. Face God, McKenna Dorn. Which I have some opinions about her, tweeted, I don't watch the show anymore, but I heard Bachelor in Paradise is starting to film now, so I wanted to send a virtual hug to the person who will walk down last to the beach. It's going to suck and feel unfair, but please know there's someone amazing out there for you. Heart hands emoji. This tweet produced 1,300 likes and paints final sand as a spot any Bachelor in Paradise player does not want to be in. Technically, this could have been Alexa Ray Caves if Ivan Hall had not hacked into a producer's cell phone. Which player do you think could do the most damage as final sand?
I would personally love to see Victoria Fuller as Final Sand. I think she could do a lot of damage late in the game.
Oh my gosh, you need to get a hold of a producer and tell them this. That is a
check-off.
Yes, that's a perfect idea. She's like the ult. Everybody would love to date her, don't you think?
I think she would be one of the first Sands.
Yeah.
If she is going to Paradise.
Have you heard any rumors that she is? I thought she had a boyfriend.
I have heard that, okay. But I'm not sure.
Ooh.
Spoil free currently.
Ooh. What if Michelle Young
is Final Sand?
Is Final Sand! If she breaks
well,
up.
Well, I would be devastated because that would mean that NHL is over.
Yeah. Which I think it is, but.
Oh, God.
It's neither here nor there.
Don't say that. Speaking of things that are over, Baylock High posted another huge post-festival play this week regarding Stagecoach. He posted on Instagram, and the caption read, "It's official. I had one of the biggest crowds in the history of the Honky Tonk Tent. Around 7,000 of you showed up and danced with me. Can't put into words how much it means. Heart emoji. Love y'all. What are some other fests y'all want to see me at? Cowboy hat emoji." We love to see a player breaking a world record, especially when it comes to a Paradise redemption arc. Mm-hmm. This is the play I was referring to earlier.
Yeah. Is he actually a good DJ?
I haven't been.
I saw him at Caitlin Bristow's tour. He was DJing her, like,
oh, really?
Off the Vine tour. Yeah. It was early on in his DJing career, so maybe he's improved since then.
Damn, roasted.
No, I'm glad he's... I can't get on board with this, with his life choices. But that is great. That's good for him.
I don't know if you're going to like the next one.
Uh-oh. Pit member and Bachelorette Season 17 Villain Edit recipient Hunter Montgomery posted a cheeky response to Blake's All-Star Shore announcement. He commented... Hope you get the Ben Higgins edit. And Balak Gay responded, laughing, crying emojis. This show is the opposite of The Bachelor, and I loved it. Crying, laughing emoji. What does that mean?
The opposite of The Bachelor. Well, he called Bachelor producers opposite life coaches. So this makes me think the producers of All Star Shore are life coaches. I think that's how logic works.
Or they don't pretend to be a life coach like Bachelor producers.
Mm.
They just, you know, corrupt them, manipulate them, but are upfront about it.
Hmm. All of these were outstanding plays, but there can only be one winner. A member of the pit at AnnBK23 showed up at grocery store's sauce party at Mariano's in Chicago and performed an It's Like restaurant in front of the grocery store himself. I don't know if I can even describe this play to do it justice. There's photos of the four of them. There's pictures of them with GSJ and the sauce. There's
wow.
them with Kenny and Mari.
Wow.
This play was massive and impressive. This four slide post got 232 likes and the voluntary nudity taco king himself, Kenny Brash, commenting.
Whoa. So did they tell Grocery Store Joe that they were in the pit? Because I know he has strong feelings about y'all.
I don't know. The caption reads, "Fridays with Joe. Thanks for being so sweet. It was so surreal." Oh, so I guess Clay Harbor is here as well. And then there's a bunch of hashtags of the pit. I love this. It was so beautiful and well thought out. And, you know, we love to support the Sauce King but, in all of his endeavors.
But,
Rochelle, you had some strong feelings on Grocery Store, I seem to remember.
Yes. I want to know, how was the sauce, though? Did she try the sauce? Is it good?
I have tried the sauce. The sauce is good.
Ooh, I'm going to have to pick some up. Grocery store Joe.
Clues bought it online and then realized it wasn't vegan and he gave it to me. And so I've eaten it.
Oh,
for
no.
Meals.
Grocery Store Joe was following me on Instagram at one point, but I don't know if he still is. Oh, no. He was so nice to me.
How did that come about?
Oh, when he came on The Vile Files. Nick was like, she's in love with you.
I remember you declared your love for him.
What'd you say?
Oh, Nick said that?
Yeah, he's like, she's been trying to get you on this podcast for a year. So finally he was on it. Yeah, he's a very nice guy.
How do you feel about it now that he's engaged to a person other than you?
Wait, they're engaged? Did they get engaged on the beach?
No, I didn't mean to break it to you like this. Yes. He proposed to Serena P on the beach.
I blocked that. I definitely watched that on TV, so I blocked that out of my memory.
Oh my God. We're watching.
I'm in denial.
Someone go through something in real time here.
The seven stages of grief right here, right now. I guess I thought to myself.
You're like, denial.
Yeah.
You're like, I watched it. He did get engaged.
I guess I thought there was no way they would last, but they're proving me wrong. And they seem really cute together, actually. So I'm happy for them. I am.
Well, an update on that proposal. Kendall revealed that she didn't know there was an engagement coming either. And that's the only reason she went and talked to them. But they had her basically interrupt the proposal right before.
Yeah, that was a producer move 100%. I did not like them doing that. I felt bad for her. I don't think she wanted to. I don't think that was her idea to go out there. Kendall.
Well, I don't think it was.
Yeah.
Congrats to @AnnBK23
yes.
on this incredible, incredible play.
Yes. You're doing the pit proud.
We're almost through the second month of this year, but that doesn't mean that you should forget about those New Year's resolutions, your new goals. Especially your skincare goals. Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results. And your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty. I've been using this stuff. Look at me. Look at my face, Pace Case.
You're glowing.
How young do I look? Tell me. Tell me the number.
That's a Pace Case glow. You look like a little baby.
Thank you. That's the look I'm going for. And I put the stuff on at night. Dime's eye cream. And then they have a dewy day cream that I also use. And this is the result.
I've literally never used a moisturizer before. Mm-hmm. I've always had oily skin, but now it's getting to that time. And I made one of my New Year's resolutions to be to do my skincare routine. And I'm using the Dewy Day Cream in the morning. I keep it on the left. Using the Restorative Night Cream, I keep it on the right. It's bim, bam, boom. I know which one to use. And now my face is moisturized all the time, and it's so nice.
You look like a baby as well.
Thank you. I was waiting for it. A little slow. But this takes the guesswork out of the routine. So this is part of the work system, the two moisturizers. There's also a sold out retinol alternative, the TBT cream. I can't wait to try that one as well. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars.
This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You are. And now for all of the plays that happen with non-humans, the creature plays this week. Dancer for Bachelor Live on Stage, Sydney Lotwako, posed with an absolute unit this week, a pup named Dixie on her main grid. The caption read, "Have you ever wondered what your dog would sound like slash say if they could talk? Because same, I imagine it'd be something along the lines of, Mom, get that camera out of my face."
Oh, no.
This is a Dixie appreciation post since my Instagram is essentially her Instagram, and she just turned 7 recently. Cry tear emoji. Also, please caption this photo, laughing crying emoji. Dixie, this legend, goes to roll around amongst pillows and conduct other shenanigans. Very cute.
Well, you just know she's going to have Instagram handles for her kids one day and talk as them when they're still fetuses.
I hope so.
Like Ari and Lauren did. That was bizarre. The way you say these emojis makes me feel like I'm on the circle.
Makes you feel like you're on the circle?
Yeah.
What? Do they read out what the emojis are?
You don't watch The Circle?
No.
Oh, you would love it. Come on. Yeah, they...
I tried season one. I couldn't get into it.
Wow. Wow.
I know.
All right. Katie Thurston and John Hersey took Dexter and Tommy on a hike, but Tommy got to sit back and ride in a cat backpack.
All of these creatures were strutting some absolute stuff, but one creature was strutting their stuff better than the others this week. Our parasocial creature of the week goes to Delilah. Faceplay goddess Olivia Caridi is fostering a 10-year-old pup, Delilah, who made an appearance on our Instagram story. And this pup has it all. A cute white furry body, a light pink vest that says the word Voyager, and she's seeking a home. Congratulations to Delilah. I'm sure she will find a home quickly with the strong parasocial play if she hasn't already.
Olivia is such a good person. What makes her a faceplay goddess?
Her mouth play.
Oh, yeah. She had a lot of mouth play. Yeah, you're right.
She was known for her mouth play. She then named her podcast Mouthing Off.
She's got
an icon.
Yeah. Great use of those chompers.
And now for the segment where we descend to the bottom of the pit to issue our screams and talk about, you know, our unhealthy relationship to the Bachelor franchise.
Yeah.
This is
Screams from the Pit!
Rochelle, do you have a scream?
I do. Listen, Pace Case, I was enjoying a fun birthday party on the beach. It was a wonderful, beautiful Friday afternoon. I had a sun hat on, had a hard kombucha in my hand, and my friend's friend came up to me and said, "I heard you like The Bachelor. I also like The Bachelor." And I proceeded to talk about The Bachelor for 2 hours when I should have been enjoying my life on the beach. Yeah, and then after that, I just was like, listen.
Were they engaged in the conversation as well, or was it you mostly spewing?
I think it was probably me spewing. But she was like rapt because she wanted to hear all the dirt, you know? And so I was trying to tell her.
Oh, yeah, you have a treasure trove. Secrets.
No. But everything I said, I thought I was going niche. And she was like, "Oh, yeah, I know them. I've heard of them." I was like, "Oh, you are in the pit, too." I knew it. I knew she was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's beautiful.
But after that, you know,
shout
when you just
out
like
to the beach girl.
Yeah, beach girl. She's like she wrote on Fuller House. She's a successful writer. I'm like, it's smart, intelligent, funny women who are into The Bachelor. You can't judge us.
That is a phenomenal scream. Were you like, I'm about to co-host? You probably didn't know you were going to co-host.
I didn't.
Coming up.
I didn't. But yeah, I felt sick after that conversation. I was like, I need to stop talking about this damn show.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like physically? Maybe it was the hard kombucha.
Yeah, could have been the hard kombucha.
Sounds like a bad idea in general.
It's healthy, you know? That's why I was drinking it. It's actually good for you. I don't know if you know that.
I love health. Well, my scream this week, I alluded to earlier.
Yeah.
It's titled Screams from La Quinta. In addition to everything I've talked about before that I'm watching, I am also watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, mm-hmm. catching up on this season. Mm-hmm. And they go to La Quinta. It's not even the first time they've been to La Quinta on the show. Nope. They had an infamous La Quinta thing that I'm sure I talked about last year.
Yeah.
But I start having these PTSD-esque flashbacks of La Quinta from Bachelorette 16 when I'm watching this.
It was
I see the couch where they ate the mountain of ice cream. I see the scone zone table. I see the Ed Knock Knock at the Casitas. I'm just having these ghosts.
What about
coming up
the Dark
for
Lord
me.
Harrison on that scooter, scooting around? Remember
oh
that?
Oh my God, scootering around that pool. They're in the exact same spot. It's just, it's so funny to watch. It also, I'm like, I don't know if it's up to the Beverly Hills Housewives standards.
I know. That's what I think, too. I'm like, really? All right.
Yeah, it completely took me out of the drama from that show.
Me
as
too.
I was just like flashing La Quinta completely. Oh, my God, that scooter.
Everyone was so
that
sweaty,
scooter
remember?
Was really dystopian. Yes. Everyone was so sweaty. They had just like cardboard cutouts of taxis.
Yes, that,
like,
the taxi is burnt into my mind. That
the taxi
New York
is iconic.
Setting. Yeah.
That's iconic La Quinta. Just, we can't go anywhere.
Yeah. And then, oh yeah, Claire sniffing Dale's pants in that room in La Quinta. That's burned into my mind as well.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. We talked about that date with Ivan. Where they had to do their love languages on her or something.
Yeah, so awkward.
In that, just that conference room in La Quinta. Well, thank you for screaming with me today, Michelle. I'm glad you were at least outside on the beach, you know.
That's true. At least I got out.
At least you got
out. Got some fresh air.
At least you got some socializing in. That's good
yeah.
for your mental health.
I agree.
You know?
I agree.
And now we have a scream from the pit from a member of our Patreon. This is a scream from Caro Ferg that we will play for you now.
Hello, Pace Case and Bachelor Clues. My scream this week is related to Pace Case's scream from last week. So not only do I work at a fertility clinic, but it's actually my job to specifically schedule the kind of testing that Pace Case was talking about getting last week. I have done this testing myself. I highly recommend it to anyone. It's really good information to have. But my scream is that I now realize that these tests can be explained with gore terminology, and that's how I'm going to think about it from now on. So generally what you're doing is you're measuring your AMH, or anti-mullerian hormone, and that measures your ovarian reserve or your egg quantity. So it's basically your ovaries future casting your potential to be a package deal. The other thing that you're measuring is FSH, which, you know, sort of colloquially is described as ovarian quality. So it's basically like if you were to produce eggs, what is their potential to become a parasocial powerhouse? Hope this helps.
So thank you, Caro, for the scream. Michelle, I'll give you a little context here. I talked about how I was, I think this is my scream last week or 2 weeks ago, that I had a call with an OBGYN and I asked to get this fertility testing, basically.
Yeah.
And the OBGYN was like, that's not a real test. And I was like, my friend got it, but it was actually this girl on Summer House. And then I was like, oh shit, was it not a real test? Was it just like a plot point? And then I looked it up and it was a real test. And he was like, oh, there is a test. And so I'm going to be getting that.
It's,
I haven't done it yet.
It's so weird because my sister's an OBGYN and she also told me you can't test your fertility. And I was like, but then I'm freezing my eggs. Did you know that?
No,
I'm literally
I didn't.
Starting the medication.
Big announcement.
Big announcement, you guys. They're going on ice. Starting the medication in 2 days.
Grocery store, you listening? You got time.
I'll open up that freezer for you, Joe. Just for you. Yeah, I'm starting the medication in 2 days. But yeah, she literally went in with the ultrasound and looked at all my eggs and like counted them. She's like, 1, 2, 3, 4. But like, you know, you have them each time you ovulate. But she was seeing how many like were there while I was ovulating.
Oh.
And then they tested my hormones.
I'm doing a different test.
Stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, I did all the blood work. Yeah.
Gotcha. So, yeah, so this Carol Ferg is actually scheduling this specific test, What a Small World,
yeah,
and recommends it and explains it in gore terminology here in a way where I was like, this is a very detailed, well thought out metaphor.
It's very cute. Game. Yeah.
Measuring the AMH, the anti-malarian hormone, is measuring your ovarian reserve, and that's future casting, your ability to be a package deal.
Oh, God.
And the FSH is your ovarian quality, potential to become a parasocial powerhouse. I love this scream so much. It's hilarious and very relevant, and I will be using it at my blood test.
But you're not going to be making Instagram handles for your unborn children, are you?
Haven't decided. You know, you got to go where the money's going, baby. Follow the money.
I guess so. After Ivan was talking about how much he brings in, I was like, man, it made me rethink everything. I was like, maybe.
Oh, that you want to be an influencer?
Yeah, or I should have tried to become one. Maybe.
Okay, how about this? The eggs that you're freezing, give them handles.
All of them?
You go like, I see Joe Jr. and and the name of an egg, Scrambly.
Scrambly.
Maybe you don't want Scrambly. That's bad. That's bad.
Egbert.
Casting. Egbert. Beautiful. Egbert and I see Joe Jr. are, they're gonna be perfect.
And then I just write captions from their perspective in the freezer.
Yeah, still waiting on Michelle to maybe do something.
I hate to break to you, eggs. There may be no future for you, but just in case, we're doing it just in case.
Egbert here, still cold, still hoping Michelle, you know, she had a Tinder date with an improv person. Not a high likelihood. I might be here forever.
One day I'll get fertilized. One day.
Yeah. I think it'd be funny. Snatch those handles up, Rochelle.
Okay, great idea, face case.
Well, Carol Ferg, thank you so much for both relaying some important medical information, like that this test is indeed real and a good idea if, you know, you're interested. You know, knowledge is power, and women should be in charge of when they're going to get pregnant. Anyway, if you too would like to submit a scream, just subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/gameofroses. Join our Discord and record a minute-long scream, and we may play it on the podcast. Rochelle, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh,
I feel like we really went on a journey together.
We did. I'm sad it's over, honestly. I just love talking about this stuff.
The journey is the friendship along the way, I always say.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. Know.
So it's not goodbye, it's see you later.
See you later. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Rochelle, where can people find information about you and Bachelor the Musical?
You can find me on Instagram at Reshmees, R-E-E-S-H-M-E-E-S-E. And the musical is at Bachelor the Musical on Instagram and TikTok. And for the podcast, at Walk You Out. And as always, what's that D-W-A-A-B at?
Well, thank you for asking, Rochelle. It's been 7,382 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then